Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Anna Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Wednesday, February 17th, and we're glad to be able to send out the light and truth over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. Thank you to our faithful listeners that tune in and listen on a regular basis. Let me say particularly to the members of the Island Ford Baptist Church and to those that might be thinking about coming out to service tonight, I'm actually broadcasting this, or I should say recording this, a little bit early before the broadcast, and so I'm not sure what the weather is going to be like. I know they're calling for more bad weather today and tonight, and so we'll be making an announcement on the radio. You'll be listening in or look on the Facebook Friends group, and I think you'll see there the announcement that will be made whether or not we'll be having services tonight. But pray for us nonetheless. Pray for those that are not able to get out and go, and for those that are under affliction, that the Lord might touch them and help them and meet their needs. All right. And then, of course, let's pray one for another. And I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the broadcast and the message that we're preaching today, finishing up the sermon that we began on Friday of last week. And we'll be finishing that up today here in Matthew chapter number 6. But first, I've got a song that's one of my favorites by the Shepherd family. The CD that we made, the closest thing we ever did to a professional CD, was a song that had, or a CD that had this song as the title track. And the song was written by a man that went on to be with the Lord, but he had a good songwriting career and a great idea here. This song entitled "There Ain't Nothing Better Than Jesus." Hope you'll enjoy the Shepherd family as they remind us there ain't nothing better than Jesus. And amen. I trust you did enjoy that song. As I said, one of my favorites from the Shepherd family. All right. Well, it is time to look back into the Word of God. We are looking in Matthew chapter number 6. We're still in verses 19 through 24 of the Sermon on the Mount, dealing with our Lord's counsel on possessions. We actually started that a couple of weeks ago, and just on Friday of last week, we began this sermon that we're going to pick back up on today, talking about the seeing of possessions. We've talked about the seeking, the sympathy, the seeing, and the servitude of possessions. We're going to deal with those 4 points on today's broadcast, and we will, Lord willing, finish that message on today's broadcast and pick up with a new one on tomorrow. Hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 19, where we started reading this morning. I'm going to read these same verses, try to continue on down through. We looked at the first three, but we're going to read them because I believe they go together. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Because righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Sin's not just a reproach to godly people. Sin's a reproach to sinful people as well. Righteousness will not only exalt a godly nation, righteousness will exalt a nation that's not so godly. It'll pull them along in the right way. So I'm saying it is important, the morality of the people that we're voting in office. Amen. Now I realize when you don't have a choice, they say you pick the better of two evils. And that's probably right when you don't have much of a choice. But it does matter. And we don't swallow the whole idea of what does it matter. What does it matter if the pastor's been double married or not? What does that matter? I'll tell you what it matters, because the Bible says he's disqualified.
And it goes right back. And by the way, if that's right for the pastor, I believe it ought to be right for the president. Amen. I could say a whole lot of things there, but our focus ought to be single. We ought to look at things based on heavenly things, not just worldly things. Amen. One of the things they're not saying a whole lot about, and this is, it's political, but it's truth. One of the things they're not saying a whole lot about, when they voted down that spending agreement that they just had, not only are they not paying the military, by the way, because they're shutting down the government, but did you know that spending bill they just pushed through still pays Planned Parenthood? The one that the president said he was going to quit. The one that the speaker said they was going to quit. Amen. The one that the Republicans said, you let us in there and we'll stop promoting Planned Parenthood. But they've not stopped it. Why? Because they're liars. Because they're immoral. Amen. I say it and I'm going to move on. If a man will lie to his wife, he'll lie to you. Amen. That's right. If he'll lie to his wife, he'll lie to you or anybody else. Amen. All right. Now, whew. All right. I must have picked up Joshua's outline instead of mine. I'm kidding. Been able to discern things properly. If we're not careful, we will be programmed. That's the right word. We will be programmed by society, by the media, to think that the only things that matter is the pocketbook. The only things that matter is jobs. The only things that matter is stability. Listen, I'm for a strong military. I'm for putting down North Korea. Amen. I'm for putting down the Muslims. Thank God that they are killing that jihadist crowd. Amen. But we're rotten from the inside. The hope of America is not that we build a wall to keep the rot in here. We got to get the rot out. I'm for building the wall, by the way. But I'm for dealing with our sin issues in our own nation. Amen. Amen. So let me get back to this double-mindedness that's involved here. The Bible is going to talk about that when it gets down here to the sinful eye. This single eye is a sanctified eye. It views treasures in the right evaluation. It's able to see what really is important and what's really not so important. Be able to see what's actually taking place. That duplicitous vision that I said deals with dishonesty, double dealing, disloyalty, and unfaithfulness. Verse number 23 is the next one. He says, but if thine eye be evil. So here's the sinful eye. If thine eye be evil. Let me get back to it. Verse 23. Thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The double-visioned eyes have a distorted vision. They don't see things right. They don't process information right. They have a distorted viewpoint. Amen. That double-visioned eye does not see things as they really are and properly. Perhaps double vision in the human spectrum causes us to be nearsighted or short-sighted. That all we see is what we want today. That's the world we're living in today. They want what they can get today. Who cares who can pay for it down the road as long as we can get it now. Amen. Amen. Short-sighted concerning things of the world, concerning spiritual things. Perhaps things look blurry and unclear to the one that has the evil eye. Since the eye is bent towards darkness. By the way, he's talking about that. That eye is evil. The eye, the light is darkness. Can you comprehend that? What you're taking in for light, what you're taking in perceiving, what you're taking in to process information is not really light, but it's darkness. It's perversity. It's distortion. It's lies. When you take, our Lord said, how great is that darkness? It's almost as if he's just shaking his head and saying, they're in a bad, bad shape when the light that's in them becomes darkness. Amen. The Bible may very well be preached in its purity. The Bible may be very well preached in its power and its plainness, and yet they can't see it because their eye doesn't take in light anymore. It perceives only evil. all they can think on are evil things. There are people, by the way, that read your Bible and all they see is homosexual activities, and they bring out things like talking about David and Jonathan being friends, and they'll try to make that into some perverted lifestyle. They see, why do they see that? Because that's all the light they've got. They're as blind to the truth of the light as they can be, and they're making up stories in their mind because their light has become darkness. Amen. And so they can't perceive it. They can't understand it. The Lord warns us that this blindness towards spiritual things can lead to a terrible darkness. And he says, how great is that darkness? The last one, verse number 23 or 24, is the servitude of possessions. The servitude of possessions. He says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This morning I mentioned the statement in verse 21 is a mirror statement to this. It's a companion statement to this. He says in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I said this morning that that statement, verse 21, is more than a statement of fact. It is a statement of fact, but it's a warning. Same thing is true with verse number 24. It is a statement of fact that no man can serve two masters. You can't fight for the North and the South. Amen. You can't be on both sides at the same time. It can't happen. It's a statement of fact, but it's also a warning of people that are trying to straddle the fence. I heard a story once. I don't know if it's a true story. They said it was. A story of a man that was on the battlefield and in the Civil War. And you know that in the Civil War, when it was a very bloody time, a very dark time in our nation's history. And there would be men on the field laying there dead or wounded. And it wasn't a time of a whole lot of compassion. It was a time of a whole lot of hatred. And rather than rushing out there with medics and trying to recover and help people, a lot of times they was glad to see them die and just leave them in the field to die. But after the military had moved on, sometimes it'd be stragglers of the military, sometimes it'd be marauders. They would come across that battlefield and they would rob the bodies. They'd strip them of their clothes. They'd take any valuables that they could find and rob the bodies of the dead or wounded soldiers. The story is this man was laying on the battlefield. He had been hit, and because of the near thing of perhaps it was a concussion, he had passed out. He was lifeless and bloodied from all the blood of others, but not his own blood. And he awakened on the battlefield after that the people had moved on and after that the marauders had come and they had stripped him of his clothes. He's naked. He's awake. He's alert. He's alive, but he's naked. And so he wakes up, and because of the concussion, he's not sure which side he's on in the story. And so what he did was he searched around and found the bottom half of one group's uniform and the top half of another group's uniform. You know what happened? He got shot coming and going because everybody thought he's for the other side. Now they say that's a true story. I don't know if it is or not. It sounds so funny. It has to be true. Let's be honest with you. But seriously, here's a thought in it. Our Lord's saying, you can't have double vision. You can't be on both sides. It's impossible. It's impossible. So it's a statement of fact, but it's also a warning. Don't even try it. Keep your eyes on one thing. Have one go. Have one set purpose in life. And let that be the things that are heavenly things, not on earthly things. Amen. And so he makes this statement just as he did the other statement without any qualifiers. He does not say some men cannot serve two masters. He does not even say most men cannot serve two masters. He just makes a blanket statement. No man can serve two masters. Amen. You say, why did he say that? Because he understands human thinking. He understands the human heart. Amen. Amen. He understands human nature. He knows, just as he knows our heart's going to turn towards our treasure, he also knows that we're going to love and we're going to loathe depending on which side we're on. Amen. You're going to love one and you're going to despise the other, he said. You can't love both. Amen. One of the commentators that I read after, I think it was A.W. Pink, said that verse number 21, speaking about the heart, deals with our understanding. Then he says that let me see here. Verse number 22 and 23, speaking of the eye, he said deals with our mind and our thoughts. I use that as understanding. But he says that verse number 24 deals with our will. Which side do we submit our will to? You're going to submit your heart, you're going to submit your mind, and you're going to submit your will to something. Brother Hall prayed it in his prayer, Lord, let me love you with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my might, with all my... Listen, let me love you with all of it. Amen. Our Lord said, you're going to submit it to something. There are people that love the world with all their heart, with all their strength. They live for the world. And our Lord said, you're wasting your time to try to do less. You're going to have to live for something with all that's in you. Amen. Something that's all that's in you. So he talks about our service being dedicated to our treasures. Amen. Our will being dedicated. Our will is bound either by earthly treasures or by heavenly treasures. You can't walk two different paths at the same time. It is impossible. Amen. So Christ goes on to say that our attitude towards our treasure is going to be, our attitude is going to dictate our actions and it's going to dictate our affections. Again, he said you're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. For the alliteration's sake, I say love and loathe. There are people that love their sin so much, they hate church, they hate the Bible, they hate Christians, they don't even see a billboard with anything of God on it. They hate God so much. Why do they hate God so much? Because they love their sin so much. That's why. On the other hand, there are folks that love the Lord so much that they hate seeing so much sin on the billboards. They hate seeing so much filth promoted in our world. Amen. He says your attitude towards your treasure will dictate your actions and your affections. Your affections will cause you to love one. You can't love both. Your affections will cause you to loathe the other. You can't loathe both of them. Amen. And our Lord ends this up, and I'll close with this point. Verse number 23. He says, I'm sorry, verse 24, the last part. There's a little sentence, just a little short sentence. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. We take the word mammon to represent the idol god of materialism. Amen. He's saying here, Christ's application of this teaching means that you cannot have a heart set after treasures in this world and have a heart set to serve God. Amen. If you're going to be in love with the world, he's saying you're not going to make a very good servant for God. That's why he said, our Lord said it so plainly in the Gospels when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't say you love me. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's why James said a double-minded man is unstable, how many ways? In all his ways. Because he's not set on one thing. He's unstable. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. The scripture comes back to mind in Colossians chapter 3 that I read this morning. Set your affection on things above. That again determines effort and emphasis. Set it. Set your affections on things above. Look to God. Don't be looking to the world for satisfaction. Don't be looking to the world for pleasure. Don't be looking to the world for security. Set those things on the Lord. And that's where you'll find them. Your eye will be single and your body will be full of light. But if you live for the world, you're going to go like the world down the pipeline of all kinds of sin and degradation. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be back in the scriptures again, this very place. And looking again at these words, Lord, they're solemn and serious. And they're pointed. I believe, Lord, that it is a wake-up call, not just so much to this church and not just so much to these young people, although it is. But our whole nation, Lord, needs to recognize that we're drifting down the road to destruction. We're headed towards destruction because we've set our heart on things that are going to be destroyed. We need to start laying up some treasures in heaven. We need to start focusing, setting our eyes on heavenly things, thinking on heavenly things for your glory and honor. Lord, I pray you'd divert somebody's thinking that's going the wrong way. Lord, I pray you'd direct somebody's thinking into going the right way and that you'd get glory in it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing And if the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. You obey the Lord while we sing this song.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.